702.
WhatsApp Refilwe.
On 072-702-1702.
And of course, it is a Personal Finance Sunday, and we're carrying on with our series of conversations with Certified Financial Planner Paul Rulofsen. And what we're talking about or unpacking over the month of May are various policies and plans, financial plans that you can, that, you know, are out there on the market. But quite often as consumers, because of just the proliferation of them and all the information that we need to take in, we don't always understand the fine print or the small print, or understand what's available to us and what we need for our particular circumstances. So I'm loving the fact that we're doing this in the month of May. And Paul Rulofsen just helps us unpack what policies, insurances are necessary for our specific needs and lives. Good morning, Paul. Always a pleasure.
Good morning, Rafi. Good to chat to you, especially on this wonderful Mother's Day.
It's a pleasure to talk to you as well, Paul. And I hope you've spoiled the significant woman in your life today, or are planning to do so.
Oh, no, certainly. It's probably the biggest event. It probably supersedes birthdays, I think, at this stage. You know, it's such an important thing because it involves so many members of the family as your tribe starts to expand.
Yeah.
It becomes quite a big event.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think COVID-19 and just the period that we're in right now makes one particularly appreciative of, you know, the people, mm-hmm. the moms, the women that you still do have in your life or do have in your life, and just the work that it's taken, you know, or the work that they've put in to make sure that you become the person that you are. So, yeah, I think our conditions making us especially grateful to the moms in our lives in all sorts of shapes and sizes, right? Essentially anybody who's just taken the time to encourage you and to groom you and lend a helping hand at so many turns in one's life. At any rate, let's talk personal finance, Paul. What we're looking at today is pension plans and which pension plan should you choose? Yeah.
Well, it is an inevitable choice that you're going to make should you reach retirement. You know, we all aim for this day, one day, sometime, somewhere. We realize that there's going to be an occasion where we're going to retire. So we can't avoid understanding essentially two avenues or two options that you can choose. In our retirement world, we have two products called a life annuity, and a living annuity.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very, very different ways to provide a pension. And if we tackle the life annuity, first of all, what happens when you do decide to retire one day, Rafi? Where you go to an assurer, any product provider that provides life annuities, and they all do it.
Yeah.
And what you simply do is you hand over your retirement capital to this particular company. And you say, well, give me a pension. You shop around for them because the type and the amount of pension does differ marginally between the companies depending on how they need your business. But essentially what you do, you hand it over and it goes into a risk pool and actuaries look at your date that you give them the money and they work out your expectancy, your life expectancy,
mm-hmm.
and offer you a pension based on that. And if you then invest with that pension, you actually get that particular amount for the rest of your life. And it's quite a useful way of providing a pension because you get the certainty that creeps into your financial planning. You know that you can center everything around that particular amount for the rest of your life. But the one downside of it from my point of view is that should you die sooner than they expect you to die, you simply hand your pension back to them. Okay,
mm-hmm.
you don't get anything back.
Yeah.
So it's a kind of risk of saying, well, look, I'll take on your estimate of my life expectancy. If I die sooner, you win. However, if I die later than you expect me to die, well, then I'm in the pound seat, so to speak, where I'm outliving that assessment that they made on my pension.
Yeah.
So it's just those are the turning points around that particular type of what we call life annuity.
So I imagine that, you know, for most people, when you hear that you hand over the rest or whatever remains of your pension to them, most people go, oh my goodness, I'd like to actually be in a position to select a beneficiary, right? And that might turn more people over to the option of a life annuity. Just tell us what that entails and what that looks like.
Well, the living annuity, if that's what you're speaking to, is the second option. Okay.
Sorry, living annuity, before, absolutely, yeah.
Just before we leave that, if I may, there are various options in the life annuity. You can take a guarantee on it. You can provide a particular provision for your surviving spouse. Mm-hmm. But whenever you sort of slice and dice it, then you must understand you're going to get a lesser pension. Okay, but moving on to your living annuity question, well, this is the choice you make, Rafael, where you say, I'm going to be the custody, take custody of my particular pension. I'm going to invest it, and I will then place it with an assurer again or some kind of product provider. And there it says, well, you have the responsibility now of making sure that that pension lasts for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And it comes with your accountability, your responsibility, and this is probably where you need financial advice as well, because we must understand that you can draw out of this pension. You have a range. Annually, you elect how much pension you would like to take out. It varies between 2.5%, which is the minimum amount of drawdown,
mm-hmm.
up to 17.5% of that particular value of the fund every year. You make an option once a year on the anniversary. Now, you have to be very careful here, because if your fund is performing, say, at 10% and you draw down 12.5% or 15%, mm-hmm. just to make the numbers better,
sure.
At 15%, you're slicing or you're taking away 5% of your capital. So if you're drawing more out of this particular product than you are earning in terms of returns, your pension starts to dwindle very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole idea here is to understand where I am invested. Am I keeping pace with what the amount of pension that I need every year? It's a tough one, especially now with COVID and the after effects of COVID.
Absolutely.
The yields are very, very low.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of stress and strain, but your livelihood just still needs that monthly income, and yet your pension's not performing that well. It becomes quite stressful. So you need to understand that you've got to ride with this, and it is your choice. However, it stays in your estate. You can pass it on to beneficiaries.
Mm-hmm.
It has that perpetuity, and they can then take over the living annuity one day sometime when you pass on. It doesn't go back to the insurance company. It actually stays with you.
Yeah. So lots to consider when you're making a decision between that living annuity and life annuity. And I think so much of that boils down to, your particular circumstances, but also, if you know very well that you're the kind of person who can make those decisions, those assessments, you are able to live within your means, I think you know which way to go. But Paul, I'm just going to do a small aside or a small detour. We're going to take a call from Sheila, who wants some investment advice. Not quite what we're speaking about, but perhaps you can just help Sheila out on this one. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast, Sheila. Welcome. Thanks for your time today. What's your question?
Thank you so much. Good morning. Good morning to Mr. Roelofse. I wanted to know if Mr. Roelofse ever heard of Elmar Brewer Agri 30. It's a cattle feed investment.
Are you thinking of investing with that company, Sheila?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and you're not certain about the company. Paul, for Sheila's purposes, and she does sound like an older person, what kind of research should she be doing when she is thinking of investing in a company?
Well, good morning, Sheila. Certainly, I think if you're referring to 361, a fund management company, you need to do your research, as Rafael correctly pointed to. You need to understand the risks involved in that particular fund. If it's a cattle feed fund, it sounds like they've got some kind of collective investment in that particular sector. You must understand that the ups and downs around that particular fund, don't be enticed purely by the returns. In the investment world, the higher the return that is projected, you must understand it comes with a higher risk. And when we talk risk, you could lose your money quite quickly in that particular field.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to assess it along the lines of how long you're going to be involved, what risk you can afford to take.
Sure.
But it's a long story. And I would start with asking them for a fact sheet which all of these funds do have, and then let's use that as a basis to start studying what I'm really getting my money going to.
Aside from a fact sheet, Paul, how else does one do due diligence just to make sure that, you know, you essentially verify what they've handed you?
Well, I think the first starting point is that you must go to the FSCA and see that it is an approved fund.
Okay.
And what you do is you go to their site, click in the name of the fund and see if it is actually approved. And if they've approved it, well, you're one step ahead in terms of understanding how risky the fund might be.
Okay. And then just the final one for Sheila, the kind of exposure. What should she or how much should she be investing at this point?
Well, again, it depends on how long she wants to be invested in. I would think if you're at that stage of your life, I'd be probably risk averse at this point in time. There's a lot of uncertainty out there, and I would rather pull back and let the whole economy and the future play out a little bit strongly before I leap into something that's of high risk and uncertain. But again, if it's money that you can afford to leave for a longer period of time and you understand that fund, then I think it's more worthwhile than just diving into it and learning a little later on, you know, what you should have taken into account before investing.
Lovely. Thanks so much, Sheila. I hope that that helped you. I hope that helps you and arms you to make a good decision, a decision that works for you. Paul, thanks so much for this conversation today. Looking forward to the continuation of this theme of unpacking products on the market. And we'll do this again next Sunday.
Super. Look forward to it.
All right. Paul Rillis, certified financial planner.